1 Corinthians in chapter 15. It's going to be a longer reading than I normally would do. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but not far off. Just the first 50 verses. So bear with us. It's a great chapter. So 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also have you received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time, for I am the least of the apostles. That are not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I laboured more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, but every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterward they are Christ's at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, for he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did not put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued under him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him to put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead, if the dead rise not at all? Why are they then baptized for the dead? And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not the body that shall be, but bare grain, it may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthly. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthly, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Well, God bless to our hearts that reading there from his word. Amen. You know, going through the letters in the alphabet, looking at Christ under each particular letter, and we've reached the letter Q, and I was spoiled for choice. Don't think that for 1 minute, because if any of you know another Q besides the one I came up with, tell us at the end. But we're going to look at Christ as a quickening spirit in this great chapter, 1 Corinthians 15, this resurrection chapter. The Lord Jesus Christ, if you notice in our reading, is described in that way. It's a truly remarkable chapter in the Word of God. Paul is really dealing with and answering those who say there's no such thing as a resurrection from the dead. So as far as they were concerned, Jesus hasn't risen from the dead, nor would anybody else rise from the dead. And to deal with this, he begins by stating that Christ dying for our sins, being buried, rising again from the dead, is at the heart of the gospel, the good news of salvation. So Jesus' resurrection is at the heart of the gospel. Without Christ being raised, there's no gospel. There's no good news of salvation. Then he goes on to give a list of people who were witnesses to Jesus' bodily resurrection from the dead. Some of them were no longer alive, but a great number obviously clearly were. Then after that, he goes on to speak of what a disaster it would be if Jesus hadn't actually risen again from the dead. He makes it clear faith in him would be totally pointless. Nobody would be forgiven their sins through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ if he hadn't risen from the dead. He was clearly an imposter. He wasn't God the Son. Because if he claims to be God the Son and he says he's going to rise again from the dead and doesn't do so, he clearly isn't who he claimed to be. And also his resurrection from the dead testified to was evidence not just of his deity, but of the fact that he really had dealt with sin. He really had made satisfaction for the sins of those he was going to save. But he goes on to show it isn't a disaster, because Christ is risen from the dead, which means preaching Christ and faith in Christ isn't in vain, because you're forgiven your sins, you're saved on faith in him, and through him you'll be gloriously raised from the dead as he was. But then he anticipates various questions that may be asked. If you say, that Christ rose from the dead, and all who believe upon him will rise again from the dead. Christ was the first fruits of the glorious resurrection of all those who are saved by him and believe upon him. He anticipates the question some people will possibly ask: how on earth can the human body, when it dies, it decomposes, it decays and breaks down, is totally destroyed, how can it be possibly raised from the dead? The whole idea, he can anticipate, people will say, is folly. He doesn't choose to answer under the guidance of God. One way he could have answered, he could have said, yes, the body does decompose, but God is a God who can create all things out of nothing. So if God can create all things out of nothing, he can certainly raise a dead, decomposed body. But what Paul does do under the guidance of the Holy Spirit is show every year something that God does in creation. You sow it, the seed is sown, it's put into the ground, it decomposes, it's raised up eventually, a strong stalk. Different from, but the same seed that was sown. So even in nature, Paul's saying, you can see something of what I'm talking about in the life of the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. The believer dies, his body perishes, but he's raised again with a similar but changed body. But then he anticipates what people will say. Well, what kind of body will it be like that we're raised from the dead with? And he says, well, as God has made bodies suitable for the environment in which various things live, i.e. birds for the sky, fish for the sea, and us for the earth. That's why I always go on about, I've never liked swimming, don't like the water, and don't like flying that much because I was made to be on the earth. But taking the illustration he's using here, obviously, God has made particular bodies for the environment in which he dwelt. And he's making the point, the resurrection body of the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ will be one that is suitable to dwell in a new heavens and new earth wherein dwells righteousness. And he goes on to speak of what happens when we die. The body of a dead believer immediately decays, it's sown in corruption. But the resurrection body of the believer, it's raised in incorruption. It doesn't decay. The dead body of the believer, whether they're buried, cremated, buried at sea, is sown in dishonor. But what a change. It's raised in glory with a body like Christ's glorious body. The body of a dead believer is sown in weakness. It now can't do a thing. That body that could think, speak, act, walk, move, it now is totally weak. It can't do anything. But is raised a powerful body. The same abilities as before, but powerfully improved. And then he says, the dead believer is buried a natural body, but is raised a spiritual body. It won't require what a natural body requires, food, drink, or sleep. You see, Adam, he says, was made a living soul in the image of God with a natural body. It was a body that needed sleep. It was a body that needed drink. It was a body that needed food. But it was a body that wasn't subject to decay or disease or sickness or death. But Adam and Eve sinfully rebelled against God. And that dramatically changed. Suddenly, the natural body was subject to decay, disease, sickness, and death. And everyone, as descendants from Adam, we have a natural body like Adam had after the fall. We have bodies that are subject to decay, disease, sickness, and finally death. And we have bodies that require sleep, drink, and food. but in and from the Lord Jesus Christ, all that believe upon him are raised with a spiritual body. It won't need food, it won't need sleep, it won't need drink, and it will not suffer decay, it can't suffer disease, and it will not but die. And Christ is described here as the last Adam, made a quickening spirit, one capable of giving spiritual life to sinners who believe upon him for salvation, one capable of raising with a spiritual body, like unto his glorious body, those who believe upon him for salvation. So the believer is raised with a body that won't be subject to disease, sickness, decay, or death, and won't need sleep, a drink, or food. Adam had a body that was of the earth, earthy, we're told. God breathed life into it, but Christ came from heaven. He had a body that was miraculously conceived of the Holy Spirit. Christ's conception was unique. Nobody has ever existed being conceived in that way beforehand. An incredible body. However, on faith in Christ Jesus, who is a quickening spirit, we receive spiritual life from him as we believe upon him. And through our union with him, we're raised with a body like his glorious body. A wonderful spiritual body. It won't require sleep, it won't require drink, it won't require food. And more for us to think on the positive side, it won't suffer decay, disease, or death. It won't get older. The body that we're raised with will be the body that we have eternally. It won't get older. It'll never get sick. It won't die. It lives forever. Christ quickened us by his Spirit. He gives us spiritual life. And he gives us bodies that are incorruptible, glorious, powerful, like his glorious body that rose from the dead, ascended on high, and is exalted at God's right hand. And this is absolutely necessary, because we're told flesh and blood, these natural bodies descended from Adam, which is subject to decay and disease and death, through which we sin against Almighty God, they cannot inherit the kingdom of God. The way we are now, we couldn't be that way with this body that we've got now in heaven itself. That would be totally impossible. There has to be a change if we're going to have a body that can dwell in an incorruptible and imperishable heaven. And the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is a quickening spirit, not only does he give spiritual life and salvation to those who believe upon him, but he also raises and changes our bodies so they'll be like his glorious body that can dwell in the new heavens and new earth wherein dwells righteousness. But it's only in Christ, who is a quickening spirit, this can happen. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ is totally indispensable. Everybody needs the Lord Jesus Christ to have spiritual life and to be raised with a body like unto his glorious body that is able to dwell in a new heavens and new earth wherein dwells righteousness.